It is Wednesday, November 13th, 2019, a lovely seven-game slate tonight. Welcome to DG Courtroom. I'm your host, without any intro music whatsoever, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, at DG Courtroom. Posting a lot of stories and content up there daily that hopefully you guys find entertaining and informative. If you want to support the frustrated and tired judge, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show wherever you may listen. Also, when I tweet out the link, likes are very nice, but retweets would be much more appreciated. So please hit that retweet button. Man, the last couple hours, guys, have been brutal. I was ready to record this show at probably 3:45 Eastern in the morning. Now it's 5:45 Eastern. So I've had a two-hour nightmare dealing with IT issues. My microphone would not work. If you want to see what I was going through, I actually posted a story on Instagram, at DG Courtroom, and you can see what I was dealing with. And I tried everything, could not figure out what the issue was, so I basically had to re-download and reinstall the program that I used to record the podcast. Took a long time. The last time I set that up was like, how long have I been doing this? Years, right? 3 years? 4 years? I don't even know. But I wasn't able to figure out how to get sound effects through the computer and a bunch of stuff that we normally like to do on the show, like the intro music and other things. So, hell, it's a miracle that we're even having a show. Hell, I don't even know if you'll be able to hear this, quite honestly, at this point. So let's hope we don't have any other issues, and we can at least get a show up for you guys, because it is a really cool slate on Wednesday. With that said, quickly, some housekeeping. Slack is back. If you want to join Slack for the rest of November, message me, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you want to find me. I'm very accessible for the most part. As I've been saying last couple weeks, my sole goal in life is making sure the bailiff is happy. But next to that, it is making Slack the ultimate DFS experience. And I'm really trying to put everything I have into it, trying to make it have all of the tools that you will need to be a profitable DFS player. So, yes, do you get a chat room there? Yeah, you get a chat room. But every Slack or Discord, they have all have chat rooms, right? That's not where we try to excel. We try to excel with the other stuff that we provide, right? The Crack Core 4, giving you my top plays that I build my lineups around each night. My spreadsheet of all my top plays. A new feature called The Process, where I break down my cash game lineups. Also a new feature called The Mailbag, where I'm trying to answer all your questions. I really am trying to make Slack, I'm trying to turn it basically into a website. We used to have a website, and we will again, hopefully, in the future. But, you know, we're pumping out a lot of cool content in Slack. I like the direction it's going. I have big ideas, big goals. We're moving in the right direction. We're even going to have some articles being posted in Slack in the coming days and coming weeks. So, again, I really do want it to be a place where you get up, you open Slack, and whatever you need to prepare for that night's slate, you can have in there. You don't have to go to any other site. Now, can we ultimately achieve that when we live in a world of supercomputers and optimizers? I don't know, but we're moving in the right direction. We've been very successful in Slack. Got a great group of guys, and I'm pleased at where it's currently at, and it's only going to get better. And it's also, we currently have the most members we've ever had. So another goal of mine is just to make it more efficient, because I know it gets crowded in there, so I want to make sure everyone, no one gets drowned out. Everyone has a choice, has a chance to have their voice heard. I have their questions answered. So constantly looking for ways to improve it, to make it better, and to add more content. And we're going to keep going with it, and I'm proud of it. So if you want to join, get in there. Join our community. I think you'll like what we're doing this year. And if you were you joined Slack in the past and you got out for whatever reason, give it one more try. One more try. I'm pretty sure I did a song on the podcast called One More Try by, I think, Timmy T or Tommy T sing that song. it was an oldie, but a goodie. All right. We're going to jump pretty quickly into Wednesday slate. I did want to say a few words about where my head is at 3 weeks into a long 6 month grind of a season. It is fitting that I just had a 2 hour IT meltdown. I actually, you know, was going to say these few words well before I had the IT issues, but now maybe that was a sign that I really should talk about this a little bit. But, you know, and shout out to my boy Mick Parra, who's been a lifesaver behind the scenes helping me out in Slack in all kinds of ways this year. And a lot of guys have. It's been a team effort. It's been really great. But, he alerted me to a conversation that was, I think it was Fast Eddie Fear, who's on awesomeo.com, was having a discussion earlier on Tuesday about just how taxing the grind of doing, you know, this kind of show and living, breathing DFS 24/7 can be. I think they also got into some other important topics, really important topics about mental health and things of that nature. And I'm not going to touch too much on that, but obviously that's a, you know, extremely important topic. And it's cool to see how in 2019 that's no longer a taboo, and there's no longer a stigmatism that comes with that. People can openly talk about mental health issues. But before we got into that, you know, Eddie was just talking about the grind, right, of DFS and how it was consuming him, and how this may be kind of his last year of doing it. And by the way, you know, I know on this show we make fun of some of the other hosts because they don't watch basketball at all, right? And there's a lot of guys at awesomeo.com that are like that. They just, you know, they're using Fantasy Cruncher, and they're optimizing and they're crunching thousands of lineups a night, you know. And we do things a little bit differently, right? We're old school. We're watching games. We're manually building lineups a lot of times. But hey, as I mentioned in Slack, I do use optimizers for sure. If not to give me lineups, to at least I use them as a tool. So I can see which way the industry is leaning. I can see all kinds of different combinations. So I will for sure each day check out optimizers on a variety of sites to see what kind of lineups they are providing. But Fast Eddie, he's one of the, like, he knows basketball and he watches games. He's one of the guys that I really do respect a lot. But he was just talking again about the grind, how it's exhausting, and he really doesn't have time to do anything else. It really does consume his life. I think he has another job too, and I really related to that. And you know, I don't want to preach to you guys. I have zero desire to do that. But I think it's good to be honest and forthright with you. We're close. We're tight, right? You know, doing the pod at now as we get close to 6 in the morning. Devoting all my time and energy to Slack, and then to watching every second of every game, which is, maybe I don't get every second of every game, but I'm watching games almost nonstop from, you know, 7 p.m. Eastern until they end at 1 a.m. Eastern. So it's a lot. Hell, 6 a.m. now, right? I watch games till 1 a.m. I ate dinner, then immediately started prepping for the show. I will hopefully finally record this, if you can hear the audio. Then I have to edit it. I'll post it. Then you have after you do a pod, you have a weird adrenaline rush. So usually it takes me about an hour to fall asleep after I finally post the podcast. So I fall asleep normally around 7 a.m. Today's probably going to be closer to 8 a.m. I have to wake up for my real job as an attorney around 9:30 in the morning. Rush home after work to immediately get in Slack. While throughout the day, I'm constantly taking care of all the administrative issues right behind the scenes that we have with over 300 members in Slack, answering questions on all the different social media platforms. I'm trying to get the social media, just in general, working on that account as well. Spending every free second on my lunch break, looking at the slate and or doing other DFS-related activities. I rush home, immediately start preparing for the slate, the spreadsheet, the core. And then somewhere in there, I'm trying to build my own lineups, right? Because I want to make some damn money. Then lineup lock hits. And I'm watching every second of every game. And usually I try to grab dinner at halftime of the late games, which is usually around like 11:30 Eastern. And then somehow, somewhere in there, I'm trying to take the bailiff out for a walk. Because I got it. You got, again, that's my number one goal in life is the bailiff. So the games end at 1 a.m. And then we repeat the process again. And it's just kind of never ending. And it's tough. It's grueling. It's a lonely existence during the NBA season. I really do kind of cut myself off from the outside world. And I'm not talking down this path to ask for pity or sympathy. No. I do not want that at all. And if you give me that, please don't. Please, you know, if you're typing something like that, change what you're typing. Because I really don't need that. It's just, I felt it's an important topic to have. Look, I love the NBA, and I love DFS. I love what we've been able to build. I love what we've been doing the last, you know, 3-4 years. I think I've been doing, in some form, DFS-related content now for 5 years. But, you know, if you just listen to what I said about what I do in the course of a day, it's not sustainable, right? You know, I had my birthday. I'm getting old, man, last Friday, and I'm sitting at home watching, I think it was, you know, all the games. So I think it was Bulls-Wizards. And for a fleeting moment, you kind of ask yourself, what the hell am I doing, right? Why am I not out with some friends or doing something? Instead, I'm watching this damn game and all the games because I feel like I owe it to you guys because I want to come on the show and be able to actually talk basketball to you and about what I saw. And I want to be able in Slack to give you that information as well. So, like, I don't know exactly where the future will lead us. I've had lots of people ask why don't I have a season-long membership to Slack like all the other sites do. And honestly, it's because I get scared that I won't make it through the season. Like, genuinely. I take it one day at a time right now. You know, my goal was ultimately to do this full-time, right? And that just hasn't come to fruition as of yet. I mean, some of that is I've been stubborn. I've had some other offers to join websites and do some other stuff, but haven't found the right opportunity there. You know, we're growing. We have a record number of people in Slack. The downloads for the podcast are up, but we still haven't gotten to a point where I can, unfortunately, where I can give up the real job. So, you know, all that is just to say, you know, I've been very contemplative these last few days, weeks, about the future and what makes sense to do going forward. You know, at some point, the grind will overtake me. Look, it may be 5 to 10 years from now, right? Or it could be much, much sooner. You know, I guess we will see. We'll get through it together. I mean, right now during the season, it's just you and me. You're all I got. But I was just profoundly impacted, you know, bizarrely. Maybe not bizarrely, just it kind of caught me off guard a little bit when I was listening to Fast Eddie talk about how, like, the grind, it's just, he could give this up because it's just all-encompassing, it's all-consuming, and it's a lot. So, you know, I just wanted to share with you guys where my head's currently at right now. All right, moving on to much better topics. Brandon Ingram. How about Brandon Ingram? Did you play Brandon Ingram a couple days ago on FanDuel? That was fun, right? Let me say this. If you are a member of Slack, and I think a couple days ago, right when Ingram got ruled out after lineup lock, which really sucked because it was Houston Pelicans, which was the highest over-under of the day. So all of us were loading up on players from that game. I actually had Ingram in my cash game lineup on FanDuel, which was awful. To make it even worse on DraftKings, remember they had that like 15-minute stretch where the something on the app was wrong, so you couldn't edit and make late swaps. But ultimately, that got sorted out. But on FanDuel, it sucked. So I've been working really hard the last couple days to see what I could do to make it up to you guys. Well, we are going to give away a monster ticket that's worth $444 to one of my members in Slack. I'm telling you, this is why you need to join Slack. We try to do cool stuff like this all the time. So again, if you followed some of the instructions that I put in Slack, you will be entered into a giveaway. On Wednesday, we'll have a live show on Instagram that you can all watch. I will spin the magical wheel, and we'll give someone a ticket. And look, man, all you got to do, You get a minimum cash in that contest, and you're walking away with close to a grand. I am essentially $1,000 tomorrow, if you can cash, which I know you can, because we're going to give you the tools that you need in Slack. All right. At this point, normally, I would bring on Oki to sing his song and prepare us for Wednesday Slay, but hell, I don't even know if you can hear this. So no Oki. Instead, we're just going to go right into it. God, this show without sound effects sucks. All right. Let me say this about the 7-game slate, which is a really good one, and I'm really excited for it. There's a lot of potential injury news, so as always, you guys know how to check the news. You guys are very smart people. I'll try to speak as much from a macro level perspective as I can about some of these games where we don't know what's going to happen. Now, luckily, we got news around like 4 in the morning East Coast time that Anthony Davis is probably going to be out on Wednesday. That's the first time that I was just about to start recording a podcast before the IT issues when I got like news for the next day's slate, which was, I was like, that's pretty cool to get that Anthony Davis news. Because with AD out, and again, we'll break that down when we get to the Lakers game, that is a potential slate changer because LeBron's usage goes up like 7%. Kuzma's like 9%. So, you know, it really does change the way that we will probably attack this slate. But we kick it off. Memphis, Charlotte, 220 over under. Charlotte, 1.5-point favorites. Memphis, look, we've talked about Memphis in the past numerous times. Clark Griswold, you think of National Lampoon's Vacation when you think of Memphis, right? Because it seems like a great idea to take your family on a vacation, but it's an awful idea because your young kids won't stop crying. Your wife won't stop nagging you. What else will go wrong? I don't know. I don't have a family, so I have no idea. Maybe you actually love vacations. But Memphis has just been a disaster because the minutes suck for everyone. I don't understand what's going on, why Ja Morant can't get consistent minutes. He gets benched all the time for Tyus Jones, which is super annoying. Every damn game he's playing 24. It's a miracle if he hits 28 minutes, you know, 25, 24 last game. And he's starting to be a little bit inconsistent. I think he actually got benched just for bad play last game. He was awful against the Spurs. Now, that's not an easy matchup. But he's 2 for 12 from the floor, only 19 fantasy points. You know, he's shown flashes, but I'm not going to touch him in a cash game. He's 7.2 on FanDuel. He's 6.1 on DraftKings. I mean, look, in a tournament, I guess you can play anyone you want. Charlotte, not a good defensive team, but I'll probably look elsewhere. The guy who has slowly turned it around after a dreadful start to the season has been Jaren Jackson Jr. So he's by far the one guy that I would look to for Memphis. And miraculously, he got 38 minutes last game. So if they're going to start giving Triple J big minutes, I was so encouraged when I saw him, one, playing well against the Spurs too. Like, that was not an easy matchup. And that's two games in a row, because against Dallas, he was great as well. 10 for 17 from the floor. The rebounding, look, I don't think he's ever going to be an elite rebounder because he's so far away from the basket. It's Al Horford-ish. I feel like Horford's been rebounding better this year. So the rebound numbers I do not like, but he got some assists last game. He still can get some blocks. But great three-point shooter. And he still has a really good upside. The 44 fantasy points last game, that was obviously a season high. It was really good to see. It was just a really impressive performance with his game. And the minutes were the best thing, in my opinion, because without minutes, you can't make us money, right? So the one downside is, obviously, what happens in DFS? You play well, you get minutes, your price goes up. So his price, he was like four. He was in the fours a couple of slates ago, right? On DraftKings, at least. So now he's 7K on FanDuel. Whoa, on DraftKings, his price didn't really go up. Gee, what the hell are they doing over there? His price went down? So he was 5.3 last slate. He goes berserk, and now he's 4.8 on this slate on DraftKings. See, 7K on FanDuel, 4.8 on DraftKings. And this is one of the things, you know, I've been preaching on the show, in Slack. If you can, stick to one site. Playing on the two sites, it's living in two different worlds, right? Two different continents, you know, whatever analogy you want to use. That's just a massive difference. So I love to play on DraftKings. He should have... This is a much easier matchup than Spurs, right? So P.J. Washington, that doesn't scare me. Who else is going to guard him? Marvin Williams. So Triple J on DraftKings, that is really juicy. I mean, this slate, there's a lot of nice plays, but that really does stand out. DraftKings pricing this year has been very soft. I don't understand it. You'll see as we go through the games. There's so many guys who are massively underpriced, and Jaren Jackson Jr., he's one of them. Other than that, not much else. Valachunas, maybe. But I, again, this is a really, really fun, good slate. I don't think we need to look at the Memphis guys too much. Brandon Clark, if he ever got minutes, but he never really does. He crushes, though, for every damn minute he's on the court, I'll tell you that. For Charlotte, Terry Rozier is he's really up and down season for him. Horrible contract. Because Devontae Graham is just a better player. he really is. And it's already turned into his team for the most part, even though he's still coming off the bench. Rozier has had flashes, though, and he's just been very stupid. I feel like he's been in foul trouble like every other game. Last game against Philly, he was in foul trouble. Only played 22 minutes, 24 fantasy points. But if he can just stay out of foul trouble, he's still playing. And he does share the court with Devontae Graham, too. Like, he's still played 35 minutes. So, I don't hate this play. Now, in FanDuel, I don't think we need to go there. Charlotte is playing up in pace, though. You can do it in a tournament if you want. DraftKings, though, another guy who's just underpriced. He's 5.6. So, I like using the Rozier and Triple J. Get a mini game stack here. No issue with those plays whatsoever. Again, Rozier in cash games? No, you don't need to do it. But, hell, he's projected for 35, 36 fantasy points at 5.6K. It's just too cheap. Other than that, Miles Bridges, another guy. He's 4.9 on DraftKings. Seeing big minutes, he's 5.9 on FanDuel. I don't even hate that. I thought he was going to have a breakout year. I thought the usage would be much higher. It's not. He reminds me a little bit. He's like a Jonathan Isaac light. He's not like an alien like Isaac is with his length, but he just does a lot of nice things on the court. He can get you blocks. He can get you steals. He's very athletic. He's quick. He can defend multiple positions. I like his game. Not an elite fantasy player. The usage, again, not what I thought it would be. Don't see myself playing a ton of him, but on DraftKings at 4.9, perfectly fine with it. And on FanDuel, don't think I'm going to go there, but not an awful play. P.J. Washington, another guy who's been really good. One of the more surprising rookies, I think, this year. I did not expect him to be as consistent and play as well as he's been playing in 37 minutes last game. Probably won't have a ton of him here, but not awful. Devontae Graham, he's up to 7.2 on FanDuel, 6.9 on DraftKings. If you've been playing him, you probably have been making money. He's had a couple 50 fantasy point nights. The price has gone up. So at that price, I probably will look elsewhere. But, he's been really good. So that's it for that game. Next up, Philly, Orlando. We have no line here. I think that's because Joel Embiid is going to taunt us and torture us all season long with, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Also, I think Horford will be back on Wednesday. Simmons came back on Tuesday night, got off to a great start, and no one played him. He was dirt cheap on Tuesday. He's even cheaper on Wednesday, and no one played him. Yeah, he was under 10%, but the Miami news hit pretty late, and then everyone pivoted to playing all the Miami guys, and Simmons got off to such a hot start at under 10%. I was kicking myself because I think I had Simmons in maybe only one lineup when originally he was going to be my cash game point guard. I think on both sites, and I went to play Nunn on Miami. By the way, Nunn got off to a dreadful start, and Spo benched him in the first half. Second half, he turned it around and was great, and it ended up working out beautifully for us, but was nervous for a little bit there. But Simmons came back on Tuesday. Expect him to play on Wednesday. Hard to break down this game without knowing if Embiid is going to play. If Embiid's out, Horford and Tobias, I've been rolling them out every time Embiid sits, and they haven't failed me yet, even though Tobias on Tuesday just couldn't make a shot. I actually had a decent amount of him on FanDuel on Tuesday. 4 of 17. It was Jason Tatum-ish from a couple nights ago. Only 20 fantasy points. He sunk a couple of my really nice lineups on FanDuel, but he should bounce back. So I like Horford and Harris, especially in cash games, if Embiid would be out. And then Simmons, I think Simmons is fine if Embiid's in or he's out. He's 8.4 on FanDuel, 6.8 on DraftKings. Wasn't he a 9K player at one point? First of all, in real-life basketball terms, I'm seeing some red flags from Philly, right? Simmons, has he improved one aspect of his game? Doesn't really look that way, right? Embiid is still fat and sloppy and out of shape. He's probably in worse shape than Jokic is, even though he did crush, finally, on Tuesday night. He was sensational. But Jay Rich has not really been great for them. They don't have any shooting. Anyone want to take a guess who leads the team in three-pointers? Anyone? Shout it out. Al Horford. Yeah. Average Al. Like they're just going to struggle to score. Like, they'll win enough games in the regular season, but in the playoffs, like, I don't know, man. A lot of people pick them to come out of the East, and now I just don't see it. They need to make a move to upgrade somewhere. Like, that offense gets so stagnant, and when they really need a bucket, besides throwing it to Embiid in the post, I mean, where are you going to go to? Tobias? Yeah, that's not going to work out very well. So after a nice couple of starts of the season, I don't know. I have issues. Watching them offensively is not pretty right now. On the Orlando side, speaking of not pretty offense, Jesus, brutal. Brutal to watch them play. And I was originally giddy to see Markelle Fultz go to Orlando, right? Because they needed a point guard. But, man, can you think of a coach? Well, actually, you probably can, and I can too, because we have some crazy coaches in the league. But I think I mentioned on the pod before, I look at Clifford, and his face to me just screams no fun. And the offense is no fun. Fultz needs to get out and run. In the half court, he's basically useless. And just the way that they play, he doesn't get a chance to do it. The possessions are way down. Defensively, they're a really good team, man. Isaac and Gordon are elite defenders. They can defend just about every damn position out there. But from a fantasy perspective, it's just not great. I mean, Vucevic's been the one guy who's really turned it around lately. But the problem is, when you're playing through Vucevic, just it sucks. It's like 1996 basketball. I don't like watching it, and I hate rostering it. Vucevic, though, has been really, really freaking good. I mean, he's got basically 50 in three straight games. I think his price has come up over about $1,000. What, he's 8.3 now. 8.3, that's still damn too cheap on DraftKings. 8.3 on DraftKings, 9.4 on FanDuel. That makes sense because he's been that good. If Embiid plays, I don't think I'll have a ton of Vucevic. If Embiid's out, maybe I'll have a little bit. But on FanDuel, I'm probably going to go in other routes, other directions, I think, at least as of right now. On DraftKings, not sure. The price is fair. Again, he's been great. I guess I'm going to wait to see what other news breaks down. Again, not someone I'm going to overly aggressively target as of now. Aaron Gordon, he's 5.7K on DraftKings. He was an 8K player last year. I'm telling you, everyone on DraftKings is just way underpriced. He's 5.7 on FanDuel too. So, man, it just hasn't worked out. Now, he hasn't been killing your lineup. He's been getting you 22 to 30, somewhere in that range, right? If you've been playing him. I think I played him for the first time last slate because he was just so damn cheap. Unfortunately, I wish Orlando was playing up in pace. They're really not. I guess maybe they are technically. But this game should be pretty ugly. Fournier, Fultz, I mean, Isaac is now expensive. I just don't see a lot here from this game, unfortunately. And I wish Steve Clifford would change his damn offense because it's driving me insane. Next game, Washington-Boston. So I had a clip prepared for you guys. Actually, I'll go to our Instagram. You can see it, or you can see part of it. It was a Revenge of the Nerds clip. By the way, Revenge of the Nerds, I think that was the first movie I ever saw where I saw nudity when I was a kid. And I think I recorded it on... Man, this is how old I am. I didn't even have a VHS. I had a... Remember Beta? There was one time, if you guys even know what VCRs were, there was... Before there was VHS, Beta was actually the thing. And then VHS came, and Beta just kind of fizzled away. But I was a Beta guy, man. I think on Beta I record on you know the huge recording thing we had, which you know I guess for you millennials, think of like how a computer looked 15, 20 years ago. That's how like a VCR looked. Like when the VCRs first came out, they were massive. They were so freaking big. And I think I recorded Revenge of the Nerds, and then I hid it under my bed, and I would try to sneak in, watch it late at night. Very taboo. And nowadays, by the way, that movie, which was like a cult classic, it does not age well. It does not hold up. There's a couple scenes in there that in 2019 are very, let's just say, would not go over well today. But again, back then when that movie was made, different time. But that I digress. Why am I getting off on a tangent? The theme, I know why. The theme of this slate was going to be revenge. So I was going to play Revenge of the Nerds clip because we have so many guys going back to seek revenge to their former teams. And here we go with Washington, Boston, Isaiah Thomas coming back to Boston. He's been back before, right? But he was back as a member, I think as a member of like the Cavs when he didn't play, a member of the Nuggets when he didn't play at all. Where was Isaiah last year? I don't even remember. What team was? Last year was Denver, right? There was a team. There was another team in there. He was on Cleveland, then Denver. Wasn't there one other team in there? Well, I think he was on the Lakers for like a 10-game stretch at the end of one season too. Man, what a fall from grace! But remember when he was on the Celtics for that year or two? He was sensational. He was like a top 5 MVP. Player and offensively, he must have averaged close to 30 points a game before he, you know, hurt himself and played with that. I think it was a hip injury, and basically cost himself what hundreds of millions of dollars, right? And now, well, I thought he may be out of the league. But good for him that he made his way back and he's actually starting. Granted, it's the Wizards, but he's still starting for an NBA team again, which is cool for him. But he's going to be motivated. Obviously, losing all that money, he's not going to forget that, right? If there's one, like, if you know me, I do not care much for revenge. I think it's ridiculous, all these narratives. When it's bobblehead day, it's someone's birthday, it's someone who's played on 14 different teams, he has 14 different revenges. I mean, like, it's just too much. I think if we had someone who actually tracked it, you would see that most of the time it's a useless, meaningless stat. I prefer, give me pace, give me usage, give me things that actually matter. But occasionally, I buy into some narratives, and this is one I think I may buy into going back to Boston. And by the way, Boston still loves him too, right? So he's going to get a standing ovation. They're probably going to be rooting for him. Plus, the Wizards stink, so the Celtics are probably going to win this game easily anyway. And finally, Beal got paid. He doesn't care at all. Man, Bradley Beal has been costing me some money lately. Not sure how motivated he is this year to play on this crappy-ass team. But I Isaiah should be. I've been playing him a little bit. Doesn't look great. Him and Beal together is a nightmare. They don't mesh well. My favorite thing to watch when you watch Washington play is after every rebound. Because before, who were they starting before? Was it Ish Smith? Basically, Beal had the ball in his hands all the time. And he was the point guard. And whoever, let's say Bryant, would get the rebound. And Beal would go to get it. And Beal would always get the ball. Well, now, after every rebound, Isaiah and Beal both rush to whoever the hell grabbed the rebound. And they both demand the ball. And you can like see there's like a split second where Bryant or Hakimura or Wagner, whoever it is who grabbed the rebound, doesn't know what to do. He kind of panics. And then eventually he tends to give the ball to Isaiah. But like that combination of Beal and Isaiah together, it's stupid. It's atrocious. If you're Scott Brooks, why would you start Isaiah, man? You bring him off the bench where he can get all the usage, play against the other team's second unit, where he's not as much of a defensive liability. Coaches get dumber by the day. But for Wednesday, I like IT. I'm going to play him. Am I going to play him in cash games? Probably not. 4.9 on DraftKings, 5.5 on FanDuel. The best thing I can say about him, by watching him, is that the minutes are trending up. 29 last game. So only 9 shots, because again, him and Beal, it's just a horrible fit. But for one day, I think he's going to come out really aggressive, and I'm fine with that play. Cash games, I don't think I'm going there. Tournaments, though, I will have some exposure. Beal's is fine. Tough matchup for the Wizards, by the way. Celtics, even without Hayward, they may be better defensively, because Marcus Smart, that guy, he locks down freaking everyone. I mean, he's been guarding centers this year. It's pretty freaking crazy how good of a defender Marcus Smart is. So Beal's fine. I mean, Hakimura, Brown Jr., Thomas Bryant, I don't have too much interest in other Wizards on this slate, even though the over-under is pretty juicy. On the Celtics side, so Hayward's gone. I mean, Jaylen Brown was sensational last game. Now he's up to 7.2 on FanDuel, and he's 7.3 on DraftKings. I don't know. I probably won't have too much exposure. The Wizards are a mess defensively, so I'm fine with it. He's had 45 last couple games, man. And he wants to get paid. He wants a new contract, right? Wait, no. Well, no, they already paid him, didn't they? Or did they? Now I'm confused. No, I think he's one of the few. This is the problem when you do a podcast at 6:22 in the morning. Now I can't remember if he got the contract or not. Bailiff, do you know? The bailiff is shaking his head like he did get paid. I think he did get paid. I don't know. You guys, I'm sure one of you guys is going to point it out to me. Whoa, microphone. We're back. All right. So Brown's fine. The two guys, though, that I probably will look to, actually three guys here. So Tatum, look, I still love targeting guys coming off horrific games because these guys have egos. These guys read the papers or nowadays the internet. Tatum having the worst or second worst shooting night in 60 years, which he did two nights ago, one for 18 from the field. He'll bounce back, and he couldn't ask for a better matchup. So 7.5 on DraftKings, 8.4 on FanDuel. Now, his price went up because the algorithm on these sites, a lot of it's based on ownership, and he was pretty highly owned. So he's not cheap. I don't love the play, but I will have some exposure to Tatum. Smart. Man, 6.3 now on FanDuel. That's tough to pay that. Last piece only. Kemba? Well, we want to attack Isaiah defense, right? So no issue using an Isaiah Thomas-Kemba lineup as your two point guards. And Kemba, after a slow start to the season, been pretty good the last couple games. 47 and 51. Hayward being gone helps him for sure. So perfectly fine with Kemba. I think Kemba's safe for any format, quite honestly, against Isaiah Thomas. And that Wizard defense. And then the guy who is popping in all the optimal builds, because Tice is out on, I think he's doubtful for Wednesday. And Enos Kanter's back, but he played like 5 minutes. Didn't start. So I would assume they start Robert Williams III, who is an athletic monster. And again, I don't trust Stevens. I still don't think Robert Williams will get massive minutes. I project him for 23 minutes right now. I think the most he's gotten this year, it's been 23. But he's flashed 30 fantasy point potential. He's 3.9 on FanDuel, and he's 3.9 on DraftKings. If you need some salary relief, don't hate that idea. Grant Williams would be the sneaky play here because he can defend the 3, the 4, the 5, and don't hate that. Now, Enos is the wild card, though. I don't know why. I need to check why did he get 5 minutes. That's absurd. He's either healthy or he's not, right? So I don't know what to do with him, but very hard to trust. I need to dig around and see what the hell happened with that situation. But potentially, there's some value at that center spot for the Celtics. Next game, Clippers, Houston. We got to wait for the news. Clippers do have a back to back Wednesday, Thursday. What Paul George is supposed to come back on Wednesday? How many minutes will he play? I heard around 25. Let's wait and see if we get some confirmation. Will they sit Kawhi out? Well, Kawhi's not playing back-to-backs, so he's going to sit out Wednesday or Thursday. My guess would be that they do want to see what Kawhi and Paul George can do together. So I would think Kawhi plays. Would I want to play Kawhi then in a cash game? Probably not with Paul George coming back. Makes him a very interesting tournament play because no one's going to play him, and Houston, one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And if Paul George only plays, you know, let's say he plays 20 minutes, all of a sudden Kawhi could put up a really big number. And if AD's out, the whole entire world's going to play LeBron. So game theory-wise, is Kawhi becomes a really nice play. But otherwise, I don't like too much here. I think Shithead Shamit, he may as well have been hurt all year because he doesn't do anything on the court. I guess he's had some moments defensively. He's out. So who are they going to start? I don't know. I would guess that they keep Lou Williams off the bench. Doc still has a lot of guys. I mean, he could start Roddy Magruder. He could start Harkless. He could start JaMychal Green. He could start Patrick Patterson. You can go a million different routes. I mean, Paul George can play. He can play the 2, man. Him and Kawhi can play the 2, 3, or the 4. So we'll see what Doc Rivers does. He's done some crazy stuff this year. Like, I've tried to play Harkless so many times because I think he's the best player out of, you know, the Harkless, JaMychal Green, Patterson bunch. And he's never gotten the minutes. And then last game, out of nowhere, he got 33 minutes. So, like, Doc Rivers is very hard to predict. No freaking idea. It's a shame, too, because the pace is going to be crazy in this game. Maybe Patrick Beverley I play. I mean, Harrell. Not an awful idea. Zubac, I just won't play. Like, he doesn't. It's a miracle if he gets 20 minutes. So, I don't need to play him, I don't think. On the Houston side, I'm already seeing people talk themselves out of Harden because they don't want Paul George defense, or I guess Kawhi might even guard him a little bit as well, or Patrick Beverley. But look, no one can stop Harden. Have you watched him play? Have you watched Houston play? Do you know what they do? He's going to get a screen at the top of the key. The screen's probably going to come from Tucker or Capella. So a big guy like a Zubac or a Patterson or JaMychal Green will get switched onto him. Harden will dance. He will take a step back 3 right in your face. Or he will flail his arms and get a foul call every time. So, look, am I nervous in all seriousness about Paul George defense, Kawhi defense, Patrick? No, I'm really not. I mean, could they bother him a little bit? Sure. I mean, I thought Josh Hart did a really nice job for the Pelicans a couple nights ago. I thought Holiday did a decent job as well. And then what did Harden do? He ended up with 60. So, look, I mean, in the modern NBA, good offense just beats good defense. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, I like the fact, like, Harden is probably not going to be high-owned for the reasons that I just said. People are going to be a little bit scared of this Clippers defense. The first few optimizers I looked at did not have Harden in them. If Anthony Davis is out, everyone's going to play LeBron. Also, I saw Westbrook popping in all the optimizers. So you play LeBron, you play Russ, you don't have the money for the most part to play Harden. So I don't need, I think we need to go, I don't, at least as of right now, not sure we need to go there in cash games, but I'm going to have some Harden exposure. I don't know how much yet. I need to see how the rest of the slate shakes out. But he still could put up the highest scoring number on the slate. Westbrook, man, has not looked right. I'm tired of playing him. He just never does enough. Last game, he got us 43, fine. But against the Pelicans, he couldn't have asked for a better game environment. And the thing that's been the most disappointing for me is he's not crashing the glass like he was the first few games of the season. His rebounding numbers, 4, 2, 6 last couple games. 5, 7, 8, so a little better. The assists are also way down, though. That's 4, 2, and 6. His three-point shooting has never been worse. 1 for 8 last game. I saw the Pelicans employ a really interesting strategy that I'm curious to see if other teams start doing. They started doubling Harden and just leaving Westbrook wide open. And just playing way off Russ, forcing him to take jumpers. If I was opposing teams, I would do that every play. I really would. So I'm fine with Westbrook. You know, also there's some people have said maybe he's dealing with a nagging injury. It doesn't look right, I'll say that. And the explosiveness is not the same. So I'm fine with Russ. I'm not going to argue if you want to play him. And I'm probably going to play him a little bit as well. But you know, certainly not as excited to play him as I was at the start of the season. Other than that, I mean, Houston's really banged up. Eric Gordon's out. I think House is going to be out. So they're going to start Ben McLemore. I probably would be more interested in Austin Rivers, who I think played, 25 minutes last game? Did he get more than that? Oh, only 21. But 20. Look, he's been playing, 27, 28 minutes some nights. He's a much better player than McLemore. I don't care if he's coming off the bench. He would be I prefer to target him, although I know all the optimizers are telling you to play McLemore, so he's going to be popular, and maybe in cash games, will it be scary to play McLemore? We'll see as the day progresses if that's the right move for us. But is Ben McLemore going to put up a big fantasy point night? The odds would say no. You know, Tucker, fine, is the last piece. Capella, he's had a couple decent games, so his price is now 9K on FanDuel. I don't know. 7.4 on FanDuel, on DraftKings. I don't mind the DraftKings price. Next game. Man. 3 left? Only done 4? All right, let's see if I can get through these next 3 games in 12 minutes. Spurs, Timberwolves, 228 over under. Man. Well, Jeff Teague is questionable because he's always questionable. That's actually really important for this game, right? If Teague is out, I mean, Wiggins, who's basically taken over the point guard spot, has been sensational. He's been popping off 50 fantasy point nights. He's been outplaying Towns. He's been demanding the ball. The usage is great. He's getting to the free throw line. Has he turned a corner? I don't know. But this is the best stretch he's probably had in his career. Now, correspondingly, his prices went way up, right? 8.6 on FanDuel. And he's 7.9 on DraftKings. So if Teague plays, no thank you. If Teague's out, you can do it. There's a little bit of meat left on the bone. Tough matchup, right? Spurs still can defend, especially on the perimeter, pretty well. I don't see myself playing a ton of Wiggins, but I will have some if Teague is out. If Teague plays, by the way, on DraftKings, he's 4.6K, basically free. So don't hate that idea. Towns, you know, he's been in foul trouble. Last game, 30 minutes. He's still got 50 fantasy points. He's kind of taken a backseat to Wiggins again. Some of that's been fouls. Some of that has been he hasn't been as aggressive. But I still have some interest here because I've been watching guys torch LaMarcus Aldridge. I just watched Triple J light up LaMarcus Aldridge. Towns could give him a lot of issues. Maybe they put Lyles on him as well. Towns, easily my favorite play from Minnesota. If Teague plays, Teague doesn't play. I don't know if I'll play him in cash, but I will play. I will have some exposure for sure for Towns. And he's 9.3 on DraftKings. So the price has dropped on DK. I have some interest for sure. If Teague is out, I know we've all been trying to play Culver and Okogie. It's been rough. They both have been very inconsistent. Oki let us down last game. Culver let us down two games ago. So it's hard to get excited about those two guys. But if one of those guys is starting, you need a punt. You can do it, I guess, as a last piece. But I'm not excited to roster those guys. For the Spurs, I don't know. I mean, they're playing way up in pace here. DeJounte Murray, man, last game he just crushed me. Only 19 minutes. He had a bad turnover. So it's tough to say if that was because of the minutes limits or Pop just popped him. And I think he got popped. Wasn't playing well the entire game anyway, but did have a couple stupid plays. Derek White outplayed him, and Derek White got the majority of minutes. So Murray, I'm not going to play in cash on this slate. In tournaments, though, he's shown you what he can do, so I don't hate the play in tournaments. You know, LaMarcus has been very inconsistent this year, so I'm not too excited to play him. DeMar DeRozan, I don't know. I have nothing to tell you about the Spurs. I don't know what to do with this team. I don't. Rudy Gay, it's fine. It's just nothing excites me here. And I'm a little concerned because I think this game could have, really have a massive number. Minnesota does, in their new offense, play really fast. So I don't know. I might try to get some pieces from this game, but like on the Spurs side, but I just don't know where yet. Like, nothing excites me. Golden State Lakers. So the Davis news is obviously a slate-changing news, right? As I mentioned, LeBron, 7% usage bump. Kuzma, small sample size, but 9% usage rate increase. And Kuzma had his best game of the year by far on Tuesday. 31 fantasy points, 16 shots. And they're going to need his scoring if Davis is out. And I would expect him to start and play, unless we hear otherwise, play decent minutes. He got 25 minutes on Tuesday. Coming back from the foot issue, maybe they limit him to 25 again. So I'm not sure. But the price is 5K on FanDuel and 4.1 on DraftKings. So it's going to be hard to fade him if Davis is out. So LeBron and Kuzma seem like good pieces to start with. The rest of the guys, I don't know. I mean, we talked about revenge, right? I mean, JaVale McGee, he has revenge playing with the Warriors, I guess. But really, it'd be LeBron and Kuzma, and then, Bradley Green and all those other guys as a last piece, maybe. The Warriors are the worst defensive team in the league, so can't go wrong attacking them. On the Warriors side, they stink. Russell, he's been good. The usage is phenomenal. 37 shots, 25 shots to our last three games. Basically over 50 for three straight. Lakers are legit defensively. The top defensive team in the league. So he's going to have his hands full with Avery Bradley, I would assume, you know, getting the first shot at him to guard him. Russell's fine. You can't argue with a guy with that massive of a usage rate if you want to play Russell. Other than that, I mean, Glenn Robinson is cheap. Draymond is 6.7 on FanDuel and 5.6 on DraftKings. I mean, another guy who's really cheap. I don't know what to say about him. How much of it is he's out of shape? How much of it is he's just deflated? He doesn't care. It's got to be a little unsettling for him to look around and see his teammates that he's playing with a bunch of G League guys right now. But at that price on DraftKings, seems like he should be okay. The problem is, like, with that lineup, you get to kind of see that Draymond Green, he can't be your best player, right, on a contending team. He can't be your second best player. He can't be your third best player. Like, I mean, he's the perfect complementary piece with Steph, with Klay. But he can't shoot, and a lot of his skills kind of get neutered by the roster that he has in front of him. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of him or what he's going to be able to do this season. So I don't know how much exposure I'll have, but he's cheap and allegedly could put up a big number, I guess. Final game of the night, Toronto, Portland. Portland is a hot mess of shit. I can say shit, it's so late. Ass, whatever you want to say. They're awful. They lost to Sacramento on Tuesday without Fox. Bogdan basically beat them single-handedly. I love Bogdan, by the way. Bogdan won us a lot of money, which was great. Damian Lillard, that's the most disinterested I've seen him look maybe ever in a game. He's got to be pretty pissed the fact that he has no help whatsoever. I mean, he was really bad. Took like 10 shots. And he still had like 44 fantasy points. They need to win some games. Like they're not going to make the playoffs with this roster. I mean, they're really banged up. They don't have, besides Whiteside, I mean, they keep trying to play Mario Hezonja, who's, it's just not working out. And Bazemore's not really working out either. I do like the Simons kid a lot. But, again, like, the backcourt's fine. I mean, you know what you're getting with Lillard. You know what you're getting with CJ. And then Simons has been a nice piece for them. But other than that, I mean, you're talking about Hezonja, Bazemore, Tolliver, Scalabaciere. I mean, Gary freaking Trent Jr. was getting a lot of minutes. Because, I mean, Rodney Hood's been dealing with this back issue. Who the hell knows if he plays? If he plays, you won't even notice because he stinks. It's just, they're a mess. You can always play Lillard right now. Tough matchup against Toronto, but again, Dame perfectly fine. Don't hate CJ. And then, if Rodney Hood plays, God forbid, you can look that way. I mean, Whiteside, the minutes have been there. They weren't against Sacramento, but I think he got an early foul trouble against Holmes. So I don't hate Whiteside in a tournament. On the Toronto side, they're really banged up, man. They got no Ibaka. They got no Lowry. OG got smacked in the eye. He's out. So we're talking about like Van Vliet, Powell, Ronnie Hollis, Jefferson, Siakam, and Gasol, and then basically off the bench it's going to be Bobby Boucher, Chris Boucher, who's been a revelation, who's just been phenomenal. Watching him play has been a lot of fun. I mean, how Toronto keeps finding these alien athletes give credit to their recruiting department for sure. I mean, I don't know where he was drafted, but Boucher, that guy can play for sure in this league. And so where do we go is the question. Well, I'm sure people love value. So RHA, people, he's already in a lot of optimal lineups, 4.5 on DraftKings and 4.2 on FanDuel. I've always been a fan of his game. when he was on the Nets, I was always begging for him to get more minutes. His problem has always been he can't shoot at all. He's an awful shooter. So, but he's got to play. So, as of right now, he'd probably be in my cash game lineup. We'll see how the rest of the slate shakes out. Norman Powell, the price has not really gone up at all, so he's still perfectly fine, I think, for any format you want. This is not a great game. There's no line yet, but it's going to be probably one of the slower games of the night. Van Vliet, I'm fine with all the Toronto guys because they're all going to play major minutes. Siakam is 9.7. Perfectly fine with that. 8.7 on DraftKings. I mean, last game he underwhelmed against the Clippers, but I expect him to get you 50 fantasy points. If I had to rank them, I'd probably prefer... I don't even know. I guess I have to see how the rest of the slate shakes out. Because Siakam on FanDuel is a small forward. But if AD's out, I'm going to play LeBron over Siakam. But Siakam's a nice pivot from LeBron on this slate. Boucher is 6.5, by the way, on FanDuel. No, I'm not going to pay that. So, RIP. For at least on Wednesday to him. He's still 4.3 on DraftKings, though, so we can look and play him a little bit there. Marcus Gasol, as a last piece only. He actually, last game, he showed flashes. You know, I thought he played a little bit better. I thought that was his best game of the year. He had 28 fantasy points. He played 33 minutes. He's still pretty cheap, so I really don't hate that as a last piece, by the way. But overall, not a great game to target unless you just really want the safety of those minutes. But RHA, he's going to be popular for sure. All right, that's it, man. That's the slate. So, weird week, weird night, weird IT issues. But we got through it, right? I think. Hopefully this podcast will record and hopefully it will post and you guys can listen to it. And, again, we're having a giveaway in Slack. Someone will get a $444 ticket to the Monster on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. And we will be ready to take on this really cool slate. So that's it. For the bailiff, for the judge, I'm going to bed, hopefully. All right, see you guys later. Court is adjourned.